The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Our Oilers Nation Radio Pacific Division previews are delivered by DoorDash. Use the promo code ONRADIODD to get yourself 25% off and no delivery fees on your first order. DoorDash. Welcome into another division preview here on Oilers Nation Radio. I am Tyler Yaremchuk. Another quick 15 to 20 minutes going over a division rival of the Oilers and what they got up to this offseason and just how much of a threat are they in the Pacific Division. Today's team, well, they're not much of a threat at all, and that's the San Jose Sharks. The Sharks are coming off an abysmal season. In fact, it's been a couple of really, really rough seasons for the Sharks. They finished with a record of 32, 37, and 13, missing the playoffs once again. It's now been a couple of years for the San Jose Sharks out of the playoffs, three in a row to be exact. So 3 or 4 years ago, they were in the conference finals, losing to the St. Louis Blues, but three straight playoff misses for the Sharks led to some pretty big changes in their organization. They have a new head coach. It's David Quinn, the former bench boss of the New York Rangers, and their GM is a former Oiler, Mike Greer, who they made history hiring him as well, the first black GM in NHL history as well. So Mike Greer is at the helm, but his first offseason was, I would call it, an underwhelming offseason. They traded away Brent Burns and they had to keep $2.7 million of his cap hit, $2.75 million of his cap hit. And they traded him to the Carolina Hurricanes. And even though they kept that money, they really didn't get a lot in return. They got a low-level roster player in Steven Lorenz, a mid-tier prospect, and a conditional third-round pick. So for the quality of player Burns was, I get his cap hit was high, but I felt like that was a trade that really didn't bring them back a ton of value. They have a problem with their aging blue liners. Erik Karlsson and Marc-Edouard Vlasic, you know, neither of them are living up to their contracts at $11.5 and $7 million respectively. And, you know, Burns, I think, was still living up to his contract, which is why I was surprised they didn't get a little bit more in return. But we are going to chat with J.D. Young from Locked On Sharks in a few minutes about that. Their forward group, Tomáš Hertl agreed to a long-term deal. He got that big 8-year extension. Logan Couture is going to be around for a while, even though he's 33 and his best years in the NHL are behind him. Their best player, the player with the highest ceiling, is probably Timo Meier. $6 million and 1 year left on that deal. He's an RFA with Arbrights at the end of the season, and that'll be a guy who I think you'll see at the top of a lot of Frank Saravalli's trade targets list throughout the season if he doesn't get an extension done. He's a guy who, if the Sharks decide at some point, hey, we are kicking this thing into a full-on rebuild, which you could argue they probably should have done 12 months ago, Timo Meier is a guy who could get you a couple of first-round picks and a high-end prospect when you consider how good he is. Point of game potential. He's got size. He's only 25 and he has team control this offseason as well. So the interesting storylines for the Sharks this season really have nothing to do with what they'll do on the ice. It's more of what they'll do off the ice as they look to set themselves up to maybe be competitive in 2 or 3 seasons. And honestly, that's kind of if things go well. So enough about me talking about the San Jose Sharks and what they did, or I suppose didn't do this offseason. Let's get to J.D. Young for a little bit more insight. Continuing our Oilers Nation radio season previews and heading out to San Jose to chat a little Sharks with JD Young. He is from Locked On Sharks, Fear the Fin, and SJ Hockey Now. He covers the team like a blanket. JD, it's a bit of a new era in San Jose. David Quinn behind the bench, Mike Greer, the former Oiler, now the GM. After a couple of years out of the playoffs, does it feel like kind of a breath of fresh air around this team and the fan base?
We'll see about a breath of fresh air. This team, Mike Greer, you know, as you mentioned, he was hired. They still want to try to make the playoffs and they still want to be a competitive team. But honestly, I just don't see it, to be honest, if we're going to start from there. But, you know, you can see the moves that he made. He wanted to try to be a more competitive team, you know, going into the season and having just more competitive and competent NHL players on the roster, you know, trading for Luke Kunin, signing Oscar Lindblom, signing Matt Benning to try to just kind of shore up this team and what's been a very top heavy team with the stars. You know, you have your Tomas Hertls, your Timo Meyers, Eric Karlsson's, Brent Burns. But I think Mike Greer, his plan is to try to have a more balanced team going into this season than what we've seen before. Is it going to be a breath of fresh air? That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Oilers fans can offer like a support group of sorts for Sharks fans, because sometimes the toughest part about going through a rebuild is, you know, having your team recognize that, hey, maybe a rebuild is needed here. The Oilers battled with that for an entire decade, right? And you talked about the team maybe not being totally balanced. And when I look at that forward group, I mean, you mentioned it. Hertl, Meyer, Couture. After that, they don't have another forward making more than $3 million next season. Who is that next wave of depth? Is there any sort of hope of a young guy in this lineup maybe stepping up for this team?
I think most of the hope for the fan base is William Eklund, who was the seventh overall pick in the 2021 draft. A lot of people thought he will eventually be the best player coming out of this draft, even with, you know, Matty Beniers and Owen Power in the draft. But Eklund, you know, coming from Sweden, he has this very special, you know, IQ, hockey sense. His skills with a puck are something we haven't seen in San Jose in a while. Not the biggest of shooters, but definitely can run your power play and find open guys. And, you know, I think he's the guy that we're, as Sharks fans, waiting to see for him to kind of take that next step. He played 9 games with the team last year, looked solid in that time, but they sent him back to Sweden after his 9 games, so they wouldn't burn his ELC. Had a terrible year in Sweden on a really bad Djurgården team that actually got relegated. Didn't really fill up the stat sheet, but he used this. I talked to him earlier this summer. He used this time to kind of work on his game, work on his, you know, trying to kind of build out and flesh out his game, worked on trying to get his body ready for the grind of an 82 game season in the NHL. But yeah, he's kind of the guy. Tomas Bortolo, again, another guy the Sharks saw where at the end of the season, he played 8 games with the Sharks, looked solid, you know, showed some flashes there, but he might be a guy where I think right now there's just too much depth, quote unquote, of just NHL caliber guys for him to kind of climb and make the team out of camp. But he'll probably start on the San Jose Barracuda for the season, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's called up halfway through the season and never looks back type of guy.
Yeah, fair enough. One name who will not be back in San Jose is Brent Burns, and that's certainly a recognizable guy, probably the most recognizable player on their roster for a handful of seasons. What did you make of that move to Carolina? Was that a smart play to, again, maybe signal the beginning of a new era? Or when you consider the money retained and all of that, do you think they would have been wiser to maybe hold on to him for another season?
I think you had to. I mean, Mike Greer, he talked about with a lot of these veterans, you know, Burns, Couture, Vlasic, Eric Karlsson, if they wanted to try to go win a cup, because he made it pretty clear that he doesn't think they're going to be able to win a cup over the next couple of years. So if you want to try to go win a cup, come to me and we'll try to work something out. And for Brent Burns, I thought Carolina is a great landing spot for him on a team that's kind of cup ready. I think his skill set fits what they want to do. Guy who likes to shoot from the point. Carolina led the league in point shots in the power play. I think it's going to be a great fit there. As far as the trade value, I think it was actually kind of expected. I mean, you knew the Sharks were going to have to retain some money, and the actual, you know, they got a player and they got a prospect and they got a third round pick, but the actual, like, just freeing up $5 million of cap space for them to go do something else, I think was the big win for the trade. And, you know, they use that money to go sign like Oscar Lindblom and, you know, some of these other guys to try to, again, add some of the depth pieces. It's going to be really weird for Sharks fans to not see Brent Burns. They start the season in Europe, but then their first actual home game is against Carolina. So it's going to be really weird to see Brent Burns not wearing teal after he's been roaming the blue line for the past almost decade now.
And he's always been one of those guys, too, who's considered just a great teammate as well. Right. So that's that's a fairly significant void in the room. Like, never even mind the contributions on the ice, too.
Yeah. You know, he was an alternate captain for the longest time. It's going to be weird just not seeing him there. And, you know, he set his career high in minutes played last year on a pretty bad Sharks team. So it is definitely a huge void that they're going to have to try to fill on the blue line. The hope is Erik Karlsson can remain healthy-ish throughout the season. And, you know, Ryan Merkley, who they picked in the first round, I think it was a 2018 drafter, him kind of taking that step that we've been waiting for of becoming an everyday NHL player and, you know, trying to provide more offense and work on his defensive game. But it's going to have to be a defense by committee with Brent Burns not there anymore.
We heard a lot of Tomáš Hertl trade rumors before he eventually signed that big money extension. Are we going to be getting the same with Timo Meier this year? Or do you think there's a chance they just lock him up earlier on?
I think it's going to be the exact same type of thing where we're probably going to be playing this all the way to the trade deadline. The interesting thing with Timo Meier, though, is he's going to be an RFA next year. So if a team does trade for him, there is the whole $10 million qualifying offer. So if you wanted to kind of play that game with him, you could, you know, kind of franchise tag him, I guess would be the best way to look at it, and then go from there. But I think it's going to be the same type of thing where if Timo wants to stay, I think they'll work out a deal. It'll probably be somewhere in the $8.5 million kind of range for the Sharks, who, if you look at the cap friendly sheet, it's not the prettiest thing in the world. But if Timo decides that he doesn't want to play or he wants to go to a winner, I think the Sharks are going to be able to get a haul for a guy who's just entering his prime right now. You know, he was almost a point per game player last year. And I think on a better team, he would easily be a point per game type of player for a contending team.
I know they say, you know, they want to be competitive and things like that. And Mike Greer is saying all the right things, but like Timo Meier's 25 years old. I always thought that during the Oilers' decade of darkness, their fatal error was that they just burnt it right down, right? Brought the house down to the studs, and they didn't have any semi-veteran leaders or anything like that. Like, to me, if you're moving Timo Meier, one, I think that's a mistake to trade a guy as good as him when he's only 25. And two, that would probably signal that it's going to be a longer rebuild than maybe they would expect, right?
Yeah. And, you know, bringing up, you know, he's 25 now, he'll be 26 when the season starts. If you sign him to an 8-year deal, you're still getting five really good years, you know, elite to prime years out of Timo Meier. And then you're probably getting three highly competitive years. And you're hoping by then the salary cap goes up and your salary cap can kind of clean up by then. But it would be really interesting, especially with the Tomáš Hertl, where they re-sign Tomáš Hertl, and then if you trade Timo Meier, who's younger, has been healthier, and I don't think he's been as consistent as Hertl. I mean, Hertl's kind of like you're getting 70 points out of Hertl as long as he's healthy. And Timo's had a great year sandwiched with two terrible years in the middle, and then last year had a great year. But I think Timo Meier, the basement of Timo Meier, is a 50-point player. And the absolute ceiling, you're looking at 85, potentially 90-point player if he's surrounded with good players. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Again, if they coming off the Hertl signing, I think they try to lock up Timo Meier at some point this season. But again, if he doesn't want to stay, then I think you have to trade him right then and there.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to ask you this, and this might be a bit of a tricky question considering the state that the Sharks are in. But finish this sentence for me. This season will be a success for the Sharks if
they win the lottery.
So is that really your expectation? Is that it's just kind of a race to the bottom for them this year and see what the summer brings?
I honestly think they're going to be one of the five worst teams in the NHL this year. The Pacific, I think, is going to be much better than what we've seen the last couple of years. I think LA got much better with Kevin Fiala. You know, the Oilers are probably going to be the cream of the crop. The Flames, I thought, did a good job of pivoting, you know, this summer as well. The Ducks are going to be a little bit better. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Vancouver this year. I think they're going to be a potential playoff team. Who knows with the Knights, if those guys can stay healthy, they have two of the best, you know, players in the world on their team. I mean, outside of you guys in Edmonton. And I think Seattle, with having Matty Beniers and Shane Wright down the middle to start your franchise, is a pretty solid option for them. So I think the Sharks do have a lot of NHL caliber guys, but none of these guys kind of scream upside where you can be like, okay, I can see this guy maybe going from you know, 20 point guy to maybe a 30, 40 point guy. And they just don't have a lot of these guys where you can see a big jump out of them. They just have a lot of solid guys and that'll win you some hockey games. But again, I think the Pacific's gonna be so much better than what we've seen the past couple of years. And it's fine to be bad, especially what's supposed to be a really loaded 2023 draft class.
Part one of the series was with the Vegas Golden Knights, Ken Bulkey from Sinbin. And we talked about how, man, this division has Eichel and McDavid and Draisaitl. Now, Shane Wright, you mentioned Matty Beniers. Like, can you imagine if, knock on wood for your sake, if Connor Bedard winds up in this Pacific division, it'll be a juggernaut of a division for the next 15 seasons if that happens.
And that doesn't even include like the King, you know, the Kings have Byfield, yeah. And you know, you have Zegras, McTavish, and then Anaheim, who are both going to be insanely good. Yeah. The Pacific is going to be good again soon.
It's those ebbs and flows, right? You have a, you know, below average subpar division for 4 or 5 years. Well, what's the result? All those teams are making top 10 picks for a handful of seasons. You talked about, you know, success for the Sharks would be being a lottery team. The other part of that likely would be gathering up some picks at the deadline. So I know we spitballed about Timo Meier. We've talked about the deal that was already done over the summer for Brent Burns. Who else are you looking at and going, okay, this is like the list of trade pieces we have to maybe grab some second and third round picks at the deadline?
Yeah, I think Nick Bonino, who's, you know, I think he can be a perfectly cromulent middle six guy for a contending team. You know, he's going to be a veteran guy, going to come in and, you know, nice guy and everything. James Reimer, if you're looking for some goaltending insurance, there's been rumors of him, you know, going to actually Edmonton before, you know, Jack Campbell. But if Campbell needs some more help, I think that would be a perfectly nice trade right there. You know, guys like Matt Nieto, you're looking for a penalty kill guy type, like guy. I think basically anybody who's on the last year of their deal, and you know, you can send off a bunch of these veteran guys to go help. And we saw the Sharks do that last season with Andrew Cogliano going to the Avs. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys like that. I don't think there's anybody, unless Timo Meier decides that he doesn't want to be, there's nobody that kind of really shakes a lot of things up for some other teams, but there's some nice quality depth guys who could help potential contenders kind of make that next step. So
Nick Bonino, despite being an American, spends his summers up in Edmonton. And the Oilers could be a team looking for center depth as well. I actually see like quite a few potential nice fits, considering the Oilers might be looking for depth pieces throughout the season as well. I'm asking everyone this so I can get a nice consensus Pacific Division expert ranking at the end. Who do you think are the playoff teams in this division this year?
I have Edmonton winning it. I actually have Vancouver second. I think there's a lot of people sleeping on them. Full year with Bruce Boudreau as the coach. I think we have Elias Pettersson kind of steps into that superstar club that we've been kind of waiting for him to jump into.
Thatcher
Demko. Then I'm going to have, what was that?
Thatcher Demko could win the Vezina too for that team.
Yeah, they have a lot of great guys on that team that could, yeah. So I expect them to kind of make a big push this year. I'm going to go Calgary 3, and then I think the Kings make it in the wild card.
Very good. That's pretty close. I'm actually very high on the Canucks as well. That's been one of my strong takes, that I think they're probably better than the Vegas Golden Knights, in my opinion. I think I agree with that. I think they're better than the LA Kings as well. I think Edmonton and Calgary are probably going to be 1-2 in some order, but I like that you're not sleeping on the Vancouver Canucks either. JD Young from Locked On Sharks, this was a great chat. You enjoy the season, and we'll catch up in a few months.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Thanks.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, there you go. Big shout out to JD Young for joining me. Give him a follow on Twitter. He is JD Young, content boy, all over the place covering the San Jose Sharks. Before we keep going, got to give some love to our friends at Oodle Noodle. Ginger beef, if you're a listener of the Real Life podcast, and you will understand what that joke is all about. But check out Oodle Noodle. Order in this week and combine Oodle Noodle and DoorDash. Why not? That'll do it for another edition of our Oilers Nation Radio Division Previews. Thanks again for tuning in. I will be back on Tuesday when Princey joins the show and we talk a little Calgary Flames. Until then, enjoy your weekend and enjoy a fresh episode of ONR on Friday afternoon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.